If you like to laugh, you'll have many opportunities, at least 84 of them, when the cruel and unusual comedy series of short slapstick films are unleashed at the Museum of Modern Art starting tonight. They feature well-known comics like Harold Lloyd and our gang, plus many lesser-known greats like Al St. John, Alice Howell, and the trio A Ton of Fun. Ben Modell and Steve Massa are the ones responsible for the mayhem, which runs through January 26th. And I'm happy both of them are here on the Leonard Lopate Show to talk about what to expect in the coming weeks. Welcome back. You guys are all pros here.
Yeah. It's great to be back on the program. Yeah. Thanks for having us. Good to see you.
Well, thank you very much for coming in. So this is your fifth installment of Cruel and Unusual shows. How does it compare with the other ones?
Well, it's a lot more
it's
film
bigger.
This time.
Usually we would do 5 to 6 programs. This is 15 separate programs in totaling the 84 films.
Yeah, why not go to 100?
We're still looking. We're still going through the collection and finding stuff. Mm-hmm. And there's certainly a plenty of material. Usually it's, like Steve said, there are 5 slots that are sprinkled throughout a month. And this time it's a solid run for 2 weeks where we have 2 shows a day for every single day for two solid weeks.
Mm-hmm. Has it become harder to choose different films over the years? Like I said, this is the fifth installment.
Yeah.
So.
No, we've just had, there's always been that much material.
Mm-hmm.
And just the challenge might be grouping it by different aspects of society.
Well, we usually pick a theme for each program. So we have certain films that we wanted to use from the very beginning, but it didn't fit in any of the themes. So now we've got a theme, and I'm like, "Oh yeah, finally, this is perfect." Yeah.
We were given 12 slots, and then it wound up being 15. So we had to just keep adding stuff.
Where did the films come from?
The Museum of Modern Art. They were all of these films are preserved by the Museum of Modern Art, primarily in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s, during the time that Eileen Bowser was the head of the film archive there, and she had made a big project of preserving comedy shorts that survived on nitrate film at foreign film archives that either were unidentified or just unpreserved. A great many of the shorts that we're showing have titles in Dutch and Czech.
A lot of Czech titles.
And a lot of these things, because these films would be distributed all the way around the planet, all you had to do was change the intertitles to a different language. You could show them, and then maybe at the end of the run, they didn't come back.
Yeah, they were supposed to be sent back to the studios.
Oh, the actual
film. So that's why there's a lot from Czechoslovakia and some of the Russian, because that was sort of the end of the line. And they didn't send them back, but they took care of them. They ended up in their archives. And while they're missing here, they were actually found over there.
Yeah. So how many films did you, in total, did you have to watch in order to narrow it down to the 84?
On top of this and the other series we've done, it's probably a few hundred at least. And there's a lot of films that either just were of interest but not really entertaining, or they're incomplete. There's a number of films that we would look at and it would just end about 3 minutes in. And, we can't show this. It's fun for us but not for an audience.
Yeah, it's just a fragment, really. Not enough for an audience.
But there was enough material to fill up all these programs.
Well, Ben and I started going through the collection in 2004.
2004.
Just going through the material and, the holdings that in the collection.
Yeah, and We were at the time we were working on a Patty Arbuckle retrospective, and we were all looking at other stuff in the collection, and the retrospective went really well. It happened in 2006, and there was this moment where me and Steve and Ron Magliozzi, who we had worked with on the series, were standing in the booth, and Ron said, "This is great. We should do something else." And Steve and I looked at each other and thought, "Well, there are all these other obscure comedy shorts that you guys have that are great, and the trick is finding a way to package them so it's appealing to an audience and to the press, et cetera, because Buster Keaton isn't in these films, and Harold Lloyd, we're showing a couple of very early Lloyd films, but it's mostly people you haven't heard of. So what's the hook if we're showing movies with Marcel Perez and Lupino Lane and Eddie Lyons? And so we came up with this idea of grouping them by different parts of society that became fodder for humor, which I think it came out of we were brainstorming and talking about how you can always tell if you're watching a film from like 1920 or 21 because there's a lot of Prohibition gags because Prohibition has just been put into effect. So we thought, oh, yeah. And then there's films about treatment of animals and children and the medical profession. And we found that that sort of worked.
I'm Jonathan Capehart, sitting in today for Leonard Lopate, and I'm speaking with Ben Modell and Steve Massa about Cruel and Unusual Comedy. That's their series of short slapstick – I can't say the word – slapstick
films. It is a tongue twister.
That gets started tonight at MoMA. Where did the title Cruel and Unusual Comedy come from?
I'm not really
– I think it was me.
Yeah.
But it came from Cruel and Unusual Punishment, and then it was just like – you know, because the one thing we observed when we started noticing almost in every short, there was something extreme or something politically incorrect by today's standards.
And just outrageous
as
well.
Often very cruel.
Yeah.
So that's sort of where we came up with it.
Such as?
Well, just a lot of the physical treatment that people have toward each other, you know. Just throwing things at each other and, you know, hitting people with trains and cars and... you know, one of the films that we're going to show is one of the when we decided to do we came up with a concept for the series. Steve went, well, you have to show the one with the baby and the alligator.
Yeah.
So there's a film called
Mind the Baby.
Mind the Baby, where there's a scene where Pal?
Yeah, it's Pal
the dog and an alligator and a baby are all in the same shot. There's no split screen, and the dog and the alligator are fighting. The alligator's got its jaws wired shut, but it's just insane.
Yeah, the tail's whipping around, and the dog is trying to protect the baby, but they're all in the same shot together, and the baby is like in real danger.
Yeah,
what's the baby? The baby's just hanging out, looking
just
over.
Just crying.
Yeah, kind of, I'm more worried about what their parents off camera are doing. Looking for an attorney. But the thing is that, you know, in this time in cinema, you had to do things that were funny. And the thing is about silent comedy film is that because of the silence and the speed up, it was sort of almost an alternate universe, and you could get away with a lot more and be more outrageous. And the thing about these films is that this kind of comedy stopped when sound comes in, because the speed is the same as real time, and everything gets grounded and becomes more dialogue heavy. But with silent comedy, there's a film where a guy rides a bicycle up the side of a building. People are flying through the air, throwing things at each other.
When sound
exploding.
Came in, this kind of comedy moved more to animated films like the Fleischer Brothers cartoons or the Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Yeah.
You know, because it was just so unreal.
And so I have to ask you, did the comics of the 20s, the 1910s and the 20s find the same things funny that we do maybe today? Or is comedy timeless?
This stuff is definitely. I mean, that's the thing that we've seen throughout the years, is that it still holds up really well.
It seems to be very visceral. People just see it and laugh.
Yeah, it's stuff that it really is universal. I've done shows around and outside of the U.S. and there's a festival I play in Norway every year, and I played in South Korea last summer, and the films get the same laughs everywhere. It's something because it's all. So much of it is just iconography and something that you can see and you understand what's going on without having to have it explained to you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more of a belly laugh, it's a different kind of laugh. So it's much more satisfying because you're putting all the elements together in your head, and then you're surrounded by all these people who are laughing, and there's live music, so you're processing all of that. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Well, speaking of live music, Ben, you're one of the nation's leading silent film accompanists.
According to my parents.
Well, I mean, you're the resident accompanist at MoMA.
Yeah.
And that's not a job I'd imagine a kid suddenly wanting to grow up and do. How did you follow this career path?
I started out doing this in film school. I was a film production major at NYU, having grown up watching a lot of silent film and playing piano. And I was... the film history classes, they showed the silent movies silent, and I thought, well, I have to do something about this. I wanted to help these films that were dying in front of film students, so I started playing for film history classes there.
Just composing your own stuff
to
go with the movies.
Yes, composing and improvising. And I met a guy named Lee Irwin, who at the time he's passed, but he was a film organist in the 1920s, so he was a connection to the silent film era. And I would ask him questions over and over. How about this? How about that? I'm playing for this. I'm playing for that. I tried this. So I tried to absorb what I could from him. And then it's just built up over the last 15, 20 years into something I now do full time.
Mm-hmm. And Steve, the point I'm trying to get here is that you guys are more than just cruel and unusual comedy. Steve, you've got two books, Lame Brains, Lame Brains and Lunatics.
It's not that different than Cruel and Unusual.
Yeah.
And Marcel Perez.
Yes.
Well, these, you know, sort of my great interest are the obscure, the comedians that are overlooked. And a lot of it's because many of their films are missing. That's what Lame Brains and Lunatics, it's about these people that, you know, it's not Charlie Chaplin, it's not Laurel and Hardy, it's, you know, they don't have a following. But when you see their films, they hold up and they still are funny.
So you guys have a podcast? You guys are doing, everything.
Well, we're trying to do everything. You know, I do a silent film music podcast sporadically, and in previous iterations of Cruel and Unusual Comedy, Steve would write film notes that I'd post on a blog site. Well, this time we have 83, 84 films. That's a lot of writing. So I came up with the idea of the two of us sitting down with a microphone and doing the film notes as conversation. So if you go to Cruel and Unusual Comedy, there are three podcasts that cover, as conversational film notes, all of the films and all the programs.
So speaking of the film, so which films would you suggest folks catch? If they can't catch all 84.
Oh, gosh. I don't – it's hard to pick.
Or is a particular actress or actor that they should come out for?
Well, I mean, we have favorites in terms of the different performers, I think. There are people like Hank Mann and Marcel Perez and Lupino Lane who – a lot of people who've come to the shows in previous years would come up to us afterwards and say, how come I never heard of these people? Or Gail Henry and Alice Howell.
There's a lot of women, you know, that they're very neglected.
Yeah, and even some of the stuff that you've never even heard of, you'll still enjoy. I think it's hard to pick. There are so many, I can hardly even think of, one particular program.
Okay, well then let me ask it this way.
Sorry.
Not of the 84. Yeah. But is there a silent film that is your absolute favorite?
That we're showing?
In
general.
Oh, yeah. Well, for me, that's Modern Times, Charlie Chaplin's masterpiece from 1936.
Yeah, I'd have to pick Sherlock Jr., Keaton's feature.
Yeah.
That's one of my all-time favorites. I think it's, you know, like as perfect as you can get.
And what makes it perfect?
Just the gags are so funny, and it's also, I like that one particularly because it's short and sweet. It's only 50 minutes, but it's
5-0.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just real.
It's tight. Yeah.
It's real tight.
Go ahead.
And it doesn't feel like it's short. Like you've missed half an hour of a feature. It's whole.
So I have to admit that when I hear silent movie, I'm thinking that it's going to be at most maybe 5 to 10 minutes, and like you're in and you're out.
Yeah.
But silent movies were big feature
films.
Yeah.
And some of them are
no dialogue.
Pretty long.
Oh, yeah.
Too. You take
yeah.
something like Intolerance, D.W. Griffith's Intolerance. You know.
Yeah. A
two
typical
and a half,
feature film.
3 hours.
Yeah. Typical feature film would be 90 minutes to 2 hours. Most of Doug Fairbanks's films, which are wonderful action comedies, are about 2 hours long. And every movie show had not only a feature film, but there was always a comedy short. And often people would come for the comedy short. I've seen a still in the collection at the Library of Congress. It's a photo of a theater with a marquee. And in the same size letters as the dramatic feature, it says Stan Laurel in Mud and Sand. And so a theater owner knew that if he had a good comedy, regardless of what the feature was, he would have a good show. And sometimes they would run the comedy short after to save the show.
Mm-hmm.
But these comedy shorts were at every single show, at every, you know, every your program would change twice a week. So these were the staple of any movie show. And the Cruel and Unusual Comedy series gives a chance to highlight all the many comedians who worked constantly and the work that was done by the Museum of Modern Art preserving the films.
I've been speaking with co-curators Ben Modell and Steve Massa about Cruel and Unusual Comedy, Astonishing Shorts from the Slapstick Era, the fifth edition of MoMA's Cruel and Unusual Comedy series. The exhibit runs through January 26th at the Roy and Niuta Titus Theater at MoMA. Thank you both so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you,
John.
Coming back to the show.
Yeah, happy to be here.